For the Conference Committee on House Bill 2299C, I would like to open a work session on House Bill 2299C. Marjorie, would you like to give us a brief history of this bill?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, this bill was A and gross, B and gross, C and gross through House Trade and Economic Development, House Revenue, Senate Revenue, and Mazen Nalik from Legislative Revenue is certainly here to share the history with you.
Thank you. We can
also discuss the four amendments that have been proposed. And for those in the audience, if you haven't recognized by now, they're all just stapled together.
Well, thank you. Mazen, welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee, esteemed other chairs. The House Bill 2299C, I have to make an admission first. I thought I'll never have as much fun with an issue as urban renewal until I ran into enterprise zones. So,
duly noted.
And, yeah, that's a revenue committee joke. It's
and
really funny.
I think it's a trade and economic joke, too, because yeah. We had four.
File number two.
Yes. We're well aware, so.
As Marjorie have mentioned, the bill went through several iterations and three committees. It started with the economic development, and by the time it got to the House Revenue Committee, it got amended by certain concepts, and those were basically talking about the defined what the rural or the urban growth boundaries and it grandfathered in certain small areas to be included. And the second issue that was amended in the House Revenue is it refined the process in which special districts could opt out of the exemption for this IP program. And it could join the agreements and distribute the benefits. The third issue that the House Revenue Committee dealt with allowed local enterprise zone sponsors to offer exemptions on annual basis and certain criteria, if certain criteria are met. That is, again, to be an issue that amended later on, as we would see in the amendments coming. The fourth one was to refine the process of exempting the centrally assessed properties. Centrally assessed properties in enterprise zones, that was limited to those properties that do not overlap with the urban renewal areas. Those were the issues that the House Revenue dealt with and sent it to the floor, and it passed. When it came to Senate Revenue, it was amended further, and the main concepts in the Senate Revenue basically removed what was referred to often as Section 34 C, D, and E, and those had to deal with the centrally assessed utilities time of construction. So the concept was to allow the centrally assessed utilities to get an exemption while they're under construction in the enterprise zone. That section of the bill was removed in Senate Revenue. It also allowed for local governments who sponsor an enterprise zone to reach an agreement with any company for seeking the fourth and the fifth year exemption to satisfy certain conditions. One of those conditions that were opened for the discussion was the prevailing wage issue. And that's for any construction and modification. That is probably as far as the committee, and as you probably are all aware, the 2299C had also a minority report to it. Now, if I may go quickly through the new amendments proposed, and you have those with you. And the amendments are basically 28, C-29, 30, and 31. And 28 talks, and it's basically page 4 of the bill, And this is the issue of the community service fee distribution. The community service fee is within the SIP program, or the strategic investment program. It allows, of course, for the exemption of a certain amount of investment above $100 million, and in the rural areas, that's a new introduction in the bill, that's $25 million and above $25 million. However, it says the amounts that are exempt get either to pay 25% of what have been forgiven out of their property taxes, up to $2 million. And in the new bill in the rural areas, that number is up to $500,000. In the C-28 amendment, that makes the agreement between the parties to be connected with the cities and counties to both agree with the issues before that distribution and before the agreement is reached in that sense. So it gives both the cities and counties an ability to look into the issue and agree to it. The C-29 or -29 and that will be in around page 26. It takes out one of the amendments that were added in the Senate Revenue Committee, and that's the prevailing wage permissible language for the fourth and fifth year exemption. If a company is or a firm is seeking a fourth or fifth year exemption, they negotiate with the counties or the sponsoring agency or the sponsor, the certain conditions, one of them that is open to them is the prevailing wage. This takes it out and takes also out the county's enforcement or requirement of the counties to enforce these agreements. That's pretty much sums C-29. C-30 is a brand new section in the bill, the C. However, it had a genesis in the minority report. And C-30 introduces a new concept or a new enterprise zone type, if you will. This new enterprise zone type is the renewable energy enterprise zone. And for the most part, the renewable energy enterprise zone takes the same processes and conditions as the regular, or what I call it, normal enterprise zone would be. With few exceptions, the normal enterprise zone is limited in geography to about 12 miles in distance and so on. This new enterprise zone could be a county-wide zone, or it also could be two counties if they're contiguous in geography. So it allows a much larger area to be designated as such. The exemption also in the new enterprise zone, the renewable energy enterprise zone, is a two-year exemption rather than three-year exemption. And it's the maximum exemption in any one enterprise zone. It has a ceiling of $100 million of real market value. So up to that, you could give that exemption. However, it also opens it to be extendable to two more years. This amendment, of course, comes with in the estimate that there are certain costs to counties. That establishment of enterprise zone will bring investment to those zones starting about 2005. And once those zones are set, they'll attract increasing investment. I think there's probably something on the preparation to be invested of about $5 million a year or so. We think there'll be about $100,000 of reduced county or local taxes in the first 2 years, but because of the temporary nature of those, it brings a new valuation of the property in the years after the sunset, if you will, of those first 2 years and the extendable 2 years, and might after that time end up raising the value that is being taxable in the county.
Thank you.
The last amendment, the dash 31, it the dash 31, as we mentioned before, in the time when the House Revenue looked on the bill or looked at the bill, it have amended parts of the bill to allow two things, basically, out of this issue: a year-by-year exemption, rather than if you qualify the first year, you qualify. If you don't, you lose all your qualification for. That was changed, and it opened a window for the sponsors to go back and revise the resolution that comes out of the city or the county, or the sponsor for that matter, to for the employment increase conditions, which is 10% or at least one employee increase. It allowed the sponsors to go and revise that if economic, because of actually the economic conditions that some companies are experiencing. The C-31 takes that small notch further, or actually backward in time. It takes it from the year 2000, when the qualification on what qualifies if you started investing for the year 2000, takes it back 1 year to the year 1999. This, it seems, will resolve some issues with one, I guess, believe, or two firms. I think it's one. And then, it's about $80,000 that are estimated to be for that exemption.
Okay. Thank you, Mazen. Any questions for him before? I think he'll be here if we need further clarification. Thank you very much. Committee, I intend to do the amendments individually so that we can address each one as we go through them. And I want to do them in order of 28, 29, 31, and then 30.
Madam Chair,
yes.
I'm prepared to get things started. If you want,
sure.
I'll do a motion to adopt the C-28 amendments into House Bill 2299.
All right. Thank you, Representative Shetley. I have a motion to adopt the C-28 amendments into House Bill 2299. Any discussion? Any objection? The clerk will call the roll. We'll do the vote. Thank you.
Senator Decker?
Is an aye.
Representative
Shetterly?
Aye. Senator Starr?
Aye.
Representative Berger?
Aye.
And Chair Smith?
Aye. Having received the required votes, the motion carries. C-28s are adopted.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Do you want another motion?
I do.
Move the C-29s into House Bill 2299.
Representative Shetterly has moved the C-29s into House Bill 2299. Any discussion? Senator Deck.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just need, for the record, to say the C-29s were, or the substance of that, was adopted in the Senate Revenue Committee. I think one of the persons who testified on the prevailing wage portion really indicated this is not, and I think he put it accurately, not landmark legislation. It allowed, as Mazen said, the ability for a company or for a county to do exactly what they can do, which is in the fourth and fifth year they could negotiate this prevailing wage. And so, though I have agreed and will vote in favor of the motion, I think it is important to note that this really was not landmark or incredibly meaningful amendment that was adopted in the Senate Revenue Committee.
Thank you. Anyone else? Clerk will call the roll.
Senator Decker?
Is an aye.
Representative Shetterly?
Aye.
Senator Starr?
Aye.
Representative Berger?
Aye.
Chair Smith?
Aye. Receiving the required votes, motion carries. We have adopted C-29.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Representative Shetland.
Following your sequence, I would move the adoption of the C-31 amendments into House Bill 2299.
Thank you. I have a motion. I can't think straight. To do the C-31s into House Bill 2299. Any discussion? Senator Decker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just received these amendments, and I've spoken with Representative Berger.
Berger. Yeah, we get them confused. We do this all the time.
Berger. My apologies.
That's okay.
Two incredible.
Have to get it right.
I'm sure that has happened before. I would vote no on this, and only because I just received the amendments, and generally I don't vote, especially in conference committee, in favor of amendments that I just have received. It's difficult for me, and I tried to quickly look at it. Looks acceptable. Mazin said it's one company, and we do know that it is one company. Do we know that?
Would we like Representative Berger to maybe come up and answer some questions for you with that?
If Mazin can assure me with no absolute, and I would do it just as in some ways as a courtesy. I just philosophically have always, my principle's been to vote no on amendments that just show up. I just received these a couple hours ago.
Right.
If Mazin or the department can tell me without question this is one company.
Well, Mr. Burton, seen you before. This is like deja vu.
Chair Smith,
welcome.
The committee. It's all coming back to me, though.
Yeah, me too. like a bad dream.
Chair Smith, my name is Mike Burton. I'm the Assistant Director of the Oregon Economic and Community Development Department. Senator Deckard, I can't tell you absolutely positively, but we did review the records, and we did a quick once-over, and it's our belief that this is the only company that had pre-certified in the period of time in question that did not, because of job creation requirements, meet their qualification requirements, so got disqualified for the exemption. I can't tell you with absolute certainty, but I have a degree of confidence when we reviewed the records, we didn't miss anything. But we just looked over them once, so I may be wrong.
And how does that help your comfort level?
It doesn't. I think my preference would be, and be happy to work with the good representative to amend a bill either that resides in the Senate or look at an amendment that comes from the House on this issue. But I'd like just to take a little bit more time to ensure that we get what we're after and would be more than willing to. We have bills, certainly, for revenue that we could accommodate, I think, this provision.
Representative Berger, or Representative Shetterly has a question. Mr. Berger.
Yeah, see if this helps at all for Senator Deckard, just to confirm my understanding. This is not a grant of relief in enacting this amendment. It allows the benefited company to negotiate with, in this case, the City of Salem. And it allows the City of Salem, if the city so chooses, to give the relief that's provided for in the bill. Is that correct?
Chair Smith, Representative Shetterly, yes, that's exactly the case.
So if I can follow up. So we're not imposing any particular outcome on the City of Salem. They still have to evaluate the particularities of the circumstances and determine that there's been a good faith effort or that there's a probability of attaining the required employment levels or do all of their other own investigation in order as a precondition for this company receiving any benefit even from this amendment.
Chair Smith, Representative Shetterly, that's the case. Additionally, I would add that the City of Salem, through its economic development arm, is the proponent for this amendment.
Okay. Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. I'd sure endorse these amendments on that strength, and this is not somebody coming in trying to get a goodie necessarily from the conference committee, but especially this coming from the Salem and this affected company apparently working together, and it's still going to take action by the city council in order to effect this relief. I'm willing to give them that opportunity. It's a local decision.
Okay. Representative Berger.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think what we need to look at, however, while I'm willing to look at this favorably today, I have some concern about moving away from the guarantee of jobs. In other words, when you have an enterprise zone and you have companies looking at those zones, They get the good things. They get the tax abatement. They don't have to do some of the things. But for that, they promise that they're going to employ a certain number of people, and they have other requirements. And so because of that, that's the reason that I like to see them held to that. At some point, they agree that they are going to employ 55 people, and that means they're going to have 55 jobs. I don't like to set precedents, but for this, I will vote yes, but there is the concern that I have that we not lessen our requirements for people.
I think that's valid. Senator Deckert, do you have any other things you would like to see on that?
I don't. We worked with SEDCOR, the Salem, on Sumco bill, which was similar in nature. A very good bill that we moved out of the Senate, and I think it's law today. But I'd like to give the same policy consideration to this issue that we gave that one.
Okay. Rather than have it fail, would you like to withdraw your motion?
Fine with me. If Senator Deckert's still an L, then...
He's still an L.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's fine. I'll withdraw my motion then.
All right. Well, or we can vote it whichever way the committee wants to go.
Your call.
Withdraw.
Okay. That's what I've done.
All right. Thank you. That motion has been withdrawn.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I move the dash C-30s to Senate Bill 2299.
Thank you, Representative Shetterly. He has moved the dash C-30s to House Bill 2299. Any discussion?
Madam Chair, I guess I have a question on the fiscal impact. Was the $5 million a year that the staff quoted, was that the amount that would have been paid to the counties?
Mazen, would you like to come up and maybe answer her question?
Pardon me.
That's okay.
Madam Chair, Representative Verger, the amounts I was talking about, $100 million is the maximum real market value.
Right.
And the $5 million is an investment that we expect to be brought to these areas. In that, if those investments would have come anyhow, and I think the likelihood is there that they would have came anyhow, they would be taxed accordingly, and they would have generated to the counties before the exemption $100,000 a year. Now, for those 2 years, that $100,000 per year is probably postponed. The counties, however, after that would get the benefit of it.
Okay, that sounds better. I was confused about where that came from. Again, Madam Chair, just for the record, I'd just like to say that this has an option of, I believe, the fourth and fifth year of that the county could relieve a company. I think at some point the state of Oregon is going to have to decide that they just cannot continue to let people, even businesses, continue over a five-year period of time for tax exemptions. I think there is an economic stimulus that we have to look at, but I think there has to be a balance, and I fear that if we keep going in this direction, is Lifeline Renewable Energy the only company, or does this $100 million of abated value limit it as far as companies are concerned? I know that is a limit of the financial input, but is that a limit of the number of companies that can come in at that value?
Madam Chair, Representative Verger, the $100 million is the ceiling, so they could keep adding until it gets to $100 million. So one company does not have to be $100 million, or a whole thing doesn't have to be $100 million, but it's a cumulative amount that gets into it.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I just want to express my thanks to and congratulations, I guess, to the counties and the proponents of this. I know we had some long testimony on this in the Revenue Committee back when we were hearing the bill, and I think they were looking for several other vehicles. But and I guess for the record, as long my understanding is everybody's on board with this, and I know you're not inviting any testimony, but if there's anybody sort of the speak now or forever hold your peace kind of thing, if there's anyone, if Hasina is not on board with this, thank you very much. Hasina Squires, Special Districts.
Mm-hmm. Did you have anything further you wanted to say?
No, I just want to hear from her.
I do, I guess. We can, yeah. I've been informed that everyone was on board with this, so if you weren't contacted or maybe you would like to, maybe Hasina would like to come up. Are there any more questions for Mazen?
No.
Do you have any, Senator Deckard?
I'd just like to hear from Hasina.
Sure. Yeah, we will. Thank you. Hasina Squires?
That was an innocent question.
Sorry. That was an innocent question and an innocent answer. Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Hasina Squires on behalf of the Special Districts Association of Oregon. This is the first time I've seen the Dash 30 amendments right prior to the hearing. So after looking at them, what they appear to do is the same objection that we've had all session and have successfully inserted language that for the creation of new types of zones or new zones that are not under the old limit, allow special districts the ability to opt out of those zones, giving us equal footing with cities and counties on the decision to preempt property taxes. And this amendment does not appear to do that.
Any questions?
I mean, somewhat, Madam Chair, yeah. Just a process question. You received amendments just as you came in today?
Mr. Chair, Senator Deckard, or Madam Chair, Senator Deckard, that's correct. This is the first time I've seen this amendment.
Madam Chair, I feel somewhat supportive of, after talking to some of the folks involved and understanding the work that's gone into this, but I would just flag that process concern again of a general policy that I have is to vote no on amendments that show up. I've been generally supportive and at least somewhat informed of this as it's come down the pike. So I guess I grapple with that same question of.
Thank you, Senator Stir.
Thank you. It appears to me that these amendments were drafted on 7/8/03, which is a week ago. I guess question that I'd have is where have they been for a week?
I've had them in my office and trying to work out the process. So everybody was supposed to be contacted, and we were working on that. So this is a conference committee. We were supposed to be working out the issues. I guess that would be my question, too. So I answered that.
Madam Chair, could I just clarify, would you say one more time for me exactly about the opt-out, what it is that you object to here or that you want?
Sure. Madam Chair, Representative Verger, not to be confused with Representative Berger, because I almost just made that same mistake. When there are new zones created, in fact, there was a bill that came out of the House T&E committee that went to this House Revenue Committee, Representative Alan Brown's bill, for instance,
right. That
creates new zones, new that are outside of the existing limitation, and that's what this would be, an unlimited amount of these new types of zones. Any new ongoing forward type of zone, our main philosophical issue with that has been that we would like to be afforded the same opportunity as cities and counties who choose to create those zones to determine whether or not we in fact want to participate in those zones with respect to granting that property tax exemption. And so this would be a similar scenario to the legislation that we inserted the opt-out in and have in the past.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Just a quick question.
Sure.
This is rural renewable energy development zones. Rural county means a sparsely populated county as defined in ORS 285B.650. Mm-hmm. Just a quick question. What numbers of special districts are maybe located in would be defined as rural counties.
Madam Chair, Senator Starr, Economic Development Department did give me a list of the counties that could not take advantage of this, and they listed them as Benton, Yamhill, Washington, Clackamas, Multnomah, and Marion counties. I would say a majority of our districts are located in counties other than those counties.
Very good. Thanks.
Any other questions for Hosina?
Thank you.
Thanks. Richard Kosan, do you want to come up and give us some information on this, on the C30?
Thank you. Madam Chair, Richard Kosan with Lifeline Renewable Energy Incorporated. Very briefly, I was not aware of concerns to date brought up by Ms. Squires with the Special Districts Association. We had discussed this issue with Economic Development, very helpful. Brad Higby, very helpful. The counties, I think, have gone a great deal in terms of trying to hit a compromise here. So I was unaware of previous concerns. But this is a program designed to incentivize some development of renewable energy within the state of Oregon. And I think it, hopefully, it reflects and represents a fairly significant compromise on everyone's part.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I'm supportive of this. My inclination, though, since we currently at least have a wrinkle in it, I hate to just go running full throttle ahead, and it's not as if signing that is going to happen tomorrow. I'd be inclined, if the Chair is inclined, to withdraw my motion to allow Mr. Higby and Mr. Kosan perhaps to work with Hosina, see if her interests concerns can be accommodated in another set of amendments. And frankly, that might also give Representative Berger time to work with Senator Deckert, and maybe we can end this thing with a happy ending all the way around if we take another shot at this.
I think that's a great idea.
And I'll withdraw my motion.
Thank you very much. Representative Shelley has withdrawn his motion. What we have is we've adopted the C-28 and C-29 amendments to House Bill 2299, and why don't we take under consideration the other two motions, give people time to work things and schedule either today or tomorrow, or tomorrow or the next day. Yeah, not today. Well, I was just seeing if anybody's listening. Is that acceptable to everyone? Thank you. We'll stand adjourned until
for the notice. Yes. Thank you.